Radio Prague News. Leading healthcare experts from Switzerland shared their experiences with their Czech counterparts at a Prague conference on Saturday. The Technical University in the North Bohemian town of Liberec says it may help reduce the spread of bird flu during a possible pandemic. And over 100 people held a procession along Prague's Wenceslas Square on Saturday to celebrate 15 years of the Salvation Army in the Czech Republic. Leading healthcare experts from Switzerland shared their experiences with their Czech counterparts at a Prague conference on Saturday. Switzerland is known to have one of the best and most liberal healthcare systems in Europe. But according to its health minister, Pascal Couchepin, just like the Czech Republic, it is battling problems with the financing of hospitals and growing debt. This despite the fact that the Swiss health ministry has 600 billion crowns for a population of 7 million, while the Czech ministry has a mere 200 billion for its population of 10 million, the newly appointed Czech health minister David Rath pointed out. The Technical University in the North Bohemian town of Liberec says it may help reduce the spread of bird flu during a possible pandemic. Its technology that allows the mass commercial production of nanofibers, which are ultra-thin fibers that are just 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter wide, can be used to make breathing masks. Filters made from nanofibers are extremely efficient because they have such tiny pores that no bacteria or viruses can pass through. Its utilization for these purposes is already in the testing stage. The financial situation of Czech households has improved by over 10% compared to last year. This, according to a study by the Italian Unicredito Group, in which households in seven Central and Eastern European countries were reviewed. Results suggest that Czech households are currently the richest in the region, but those of Poland and Slovakia are quickly catching up, growing faster than the Czechs. The study looked into bank savings, stock and bond investments, and also life insurance policies, but left out calculations of the real value of properties such as cars, land and real estate. And over 100 people held a procession along Prague's Wenceslas Square on Saturday to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the Salvation Army's activities in the Czech Republic. The organization, which is dedicated to helping the needy, used to be active in Czechoslovakia before the Second War, but was banned when Nazi Germany occupied the country. I'm Dieter Asiedu, and that's the end of the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, and I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in the programme, Czech viewers can look forward to a guerrilla reality show. Prague's famous astronomical clock is as good as new after 2 months of repair work. And where can you get a plate of really exotic soup? That and more in today's magazine. Pavla Horáková's Czech language course, ABC, should help you find your way around a Czech forest. And in today's one-on-one, you can hear an interview with Nick Carey, a former Radio Prague reporter. That's in the next half hour or so. But first, why are crows not welcome in the Czech Republic this year? Czech ornithologists have appealed to the public not to destroy migrating birds' nests and harm crows who annually migrate to the Czech lands from Russia. Fear of the spread of the lethal bird flu virus from Russia and countries further east has resulted in people trying to drive away flocks from their towns and villages. Ornithologists point out that the incubation period of the dreaded H5N1 virus is around 48 hours, and the migrating birds take much longer to make the journey. In particular, the crows from Russia spend approximately a week getting here, which means that any infected birds would have died on the way. In an effort to protect migrating birds amidst the growing panic, the Czech Ornithological Society is spreading the word by radio, newspapers and television broadcasts, as well as on its own web pages. It maintains that there is no known case to date where a human has been infected with a dreaded virus by a migrating bird. We'll be right back. Halloween is just one day ahead of All Souls Day, the day on which people in the Czech Republic pay their respects to the departed. And although the tradition of Halloween is slowly catching on as well, especially with children for whom All Souls Day has much less to offer, most Czechs cling to their own tradition of dušičky, or souls. In the West, this holiday is a happy and boisterous one. Ours is sad and nostalgic. That is the Slav way, was how one Czech commentator put it recently. On November the 2nd, millions of people head to their family graves with wreaths, flowers and candles to pay their respects to the departed and to spend a quiet moment or two thinking about what was, how much they miss their loved ones and how time flies. Around the Dušičky holidays, graveyards can be seen from far away. They are a sea of flickering candles surrounded by masses of flowers. Speaking of the dead, according to the AFP news agency, an increasing number of Germans are making their final journey via the Czech Republic. To be precise, via crematoriums near the Czech-German border. This is not only because of lower costs, but also due to a law left over from the Adolf Hitler era that stipulates that ashes must be taken to the cemetery for burial. Czech laws are far more lenient in this respect, allowing relatives to make their own choice in the matter or follow the wishes of the deceased. People take the ashes home, disperse them in a place the deceased loved, or lay them in the family grave. Some Czech crematoriums even offer services such as using a rocket or balloon to disperse the ashes in the sky, which is forbidden in Germany. So it seems that anyone who wants to go with a bang must come to the Czech Republic to do it. Thousands of Czech TV viewers have taken a fancy to reality shows. Five or six of them are currently being aired. Unexpectedly, Prague's Troje Zoo has announced it will run a reality show of its own, which is to be broadcast on Czech television or online. It should be pretty much along the same lines as other reality shows, except it will feature gorillas instead of people. The gorilla reality show is to be called Revelation, and it will include a daily gorilla language course. We think that if viewers find it interesting to watch the behavior of humans shut in a villa for 3 months, then they may also be interested in watching the behavior of gorillas and finding out more about them, a spokesman for the zoo explained. The zoo wants to use the present wave of interest in reality shows to promote an interest in animals, in particular in gorillas. And the money raised by SMS messages will go towards protecting gorillas living in the wild. As for the gorillas taking part in the show, they'll get something out of it as well. 11 ripe melons, according to the zoo's director. The main prize is no coincidence. The word melon is the Czech slang for 1 million crowns, and the main prize in the most popular reality show currently on air is 11 million crowns, or 11 melons, as a Czech would say. It will be interesting to see how the gorillas do in viewer ratings and whether they stand a chance of beating the people reality shows. Prague's famous Orloj, or astronomical clock, which tourists flock to see on the Old Town Square, is as good as new. The clock and its famous statues were silent for the past 2 months, but now they are back, fully restored, and are undergoing a trial period, while clockmakers and restorers monitor how well the clockwork functions and whether all its parts are well synchronized. There could be some slight problems at the start, according to the clockmaker whose family has been taking care of the clock since the 1860s. The mobile figures, which pass through the main window frame on the hour, delighting tourists, could surprise them by making more frequent appearances. And the rooster could crow at unexpected times. But within a fortnight, the horloge should be working, well, like clockwork. Tourists who are lucky enough to be here when the statues were brought back from the workshop can go home boasting more than the average photos of the clock in action. One of the best moments was when the crowd saw the skeleton arriving by car, strapped into the front seat next to the driver. The horloge, which was made at the beginning of the 15th century, must undergo regular maintenance, but it may still be another 10 years or so before the skeleton, symbolizing death, can take another trip by car. Listening to us here in Prague, and soup is your favorite entree, then there's one event you shouldn't miss. The Multicultural Center is organizing a soup night at Lucerna Passage on November the 12th. The event is part of a broader framework aimed at promoting interest in other cultures. Along with a sample of soups from Bulgaria, Japan, Korea, Lebanon, Hungary, Poland, Greece, or Benin, you will get to enjoy their music and dancing, not to mention the possibility of making new friends. So remember, soup night is on November the 12th. And by then, the weather is likely to be so cold that a plate of hot soup will be just what you need. Some human interest news stories there that you might otherwise have missed. Well, I hope you found something to your liking, and I'll have a fresh edition of magazine for you same time next week. Now it's time to brush up your Czech with Pavla Horáková.
Máme rádi zvířata, 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 protože jsou chlupatá a mají hebkou srst.
A new tune has announced a new short sequence in Radio Prague's language series examining Czech countryside idioms. Last time we finished with farm animals, and now we proceed on to animals living in the wilderness. The Czech word for animal as such is similar to the term for wild animals or beasts.
Zvíře
means just animal, of course, with all its figurative meanings. The other word,
zvěř,
means a wild animal. There's a third similar word,
zvěřina,
which means game or venison. So, once again,
zvíře,
animal,
zvěř,
wild animals,
zvěřina,
venison. Today we start with the bigger forest animals, and the first one will be the deer.
Jelen.
A beautiful, lithe, graceful animal, but easily startled and confused. Otherwise, our ancestors would not have coined the phrase,
to jsem z toho jelen.
Roughly, this makes me a deer, meaning I am very confused, I cannot make head or tail of it.
To jsem z toho jelen.
English has a newer expression proving that deer are easily terrified and can behave unpredictably. They simply stand and stare like deer caught in the headlights. The female deer, the doe, is a symbol of grace in many languages. Unlike the stare of her mate caught in the headlights, the look of a doe's eyes is thought to be stunning.
Má oči jako laň.
She has eyes like a doe. She's doe-eyed. If a woman runs in a graceful way, we say she has the run of a doe.
Běhá jako laň.
Or she runs like a roe.
Běhá jako srna.
That usually makes men behave like rutting stags.
Jelen v říji.
Literally, like deer in the rutting season. The month of October is called
říjen
in Czech just because it is the rutting season of stags.
Jelení říje.
In Czech, men who are cheated on by their wives are said to wear deer's antlers.
Parohy.
To cuckold one's husband is
nasadit parohy.
To put antlers on his head, which makes the man in question a
paroháč.
Literally, a stag with a huge pair of antlers. But we're getting onto thin ice here, so we'd better say goodbye. Till next time,
nashledanou.
Beautiful. You can tune in for another Czech lesson same time next week. And of course, you'll also find Pavla's language course on our website. That's at www.radio.cz. Well, this particular lesson was first broadcast on the 28th of May of 2003. A reminder that you're tuned to Radio Prague, and now it's time for the interview of the week. Ian Willoughby's guest on One-on-One is Nick Carey, a former Radio Prague reporter whom some of you may remember.
Today's guest on One-on-One is somebody who will be familiar to many listeners, because Nick Carey worked here at Radio Prague a few years ago. Nick has since moved into financial journalism, and after a decade in the Czech Republic, he's about to leave for pastures new. When we met at a cafe just around the corner from our studios, Nick Carey recalled his very first day at Radio Prague.
I didn't even know it was going to be my first day. I didn't get the job I applied for, but I was told that I should freelance. And after 6 weeks of freelancing, I was offered a full-time job. But the very first day that I was told to come in, David Vaughan, the editor-in-chief, said, come in, have a look, and Libor Kubik, the head of department at the time, will show you around, show you the ropes, and then you can come in another day and start the job. And I came into the office, and Libor handed me a sheaf of articles, a sheaf of articles from the Czech news agency, and said, I want you to do this story. And it was about the Czechs about to join NATO at that time in early 99. And I said, you want me to write the story? He said, yeah. I said, how long does it have to be? He said, about 3 minutes. And I had no idea how long that was. And I said, who's going to read it? And he said, well, you are. How long do I have? He said, looked at his watch, and very calmly said, about an hour and 43 minutes. At that point, I almost quit. I almost just walked out of the building. I went out in the corridor, and at that point, I was a heavy smoker, and I had about 4 or 5 cigarettes. And then I came in and managed to persuade someone at the Russian embassy to talk to me, and never looked back.
So did you have, at the beginning, as I certainly did, studio nerves?
Oh, my studio nerves were the worst. I think I'm probably legendary in Radio Prague for constantly getting lost in the middle of a sentence.
And swearing.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of the swearing was cut out. But yeah, I think some spectacular swearing has been cut out of my days at Radio Prague.
What about the people that you met? Obviously, over 2 or 3 years, you would have met hundreds of people. Any particular interviewees stand out as being particularly interesting?
Well, I did manage to get F.W. de Klerk a couple of times. He was at Forum 2000, which was organized by the former president, Václav Havel. And I'd always wanted to meet F.W. de Klerk, having won the Nobel Peace Prize for dismantling apartheid. And I always thought he was the best speaker every time he appeared at Forum 2000. Both times I spoke to him, he gave me about a minute and 12 seconds of his time, but gave me several very concise, flawless answers to everything I asked.
Any little people, so to speak, any ordinary people who you met in your time at Radio Prague make a big impression?
I think some of the people I had to meet on the street for Vox Pops, some people would be willing to talk. Most people don't want to talk on the street, but some people would talk to the point where, I think there was one lady where I had 12 minutes of her just going on and on about how angry she was with the government. So some very interesting people on the street. Most of them, though, were people who never actually appeared on Radio Prague because they spent most of the time swearing.
And what about figures in public life you may have met who were disappointing or annoying or unpleasant even?
I confess at times I was, I'm not sure if I was, maybe looking back, a bit disappointed in Miloš Zeman, Prime Minister from 1998 to 2002. He was famous amongst Czech journalists for being very rude in Czech, but he was always very polite in English, so I was disappointed that there was never anything juicy from any interview I had with him.
You're now a print journalist, Nick. Looking back at radio, what would you say are the advantages or disadvantages or even challenges of working in radio?
I think the biggest advantage is you do get to hear people talking and in their own words. With print media, you do have to take... there's a great deal of faith in the journalist's ability to print what people are saying. So you get a real feel for people and for their mood or the way that they feel about something. Print journalism, I think, has the advantage that you are able to go into more detail about an issue. I think that radio journalism, there are so many stories I've had that were 3 minutes and could have been 3 hours. And the major challenges, I think, for radio journalism are always how to bring the story to people, because you do have to boil it down. And it's a disadvantage, I think, that very few people can really overcome. But when they do, it's absolutely wonderful.
It's, I guess, 4 years almost to the day since you left Radio Prague.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I came to the radio station just now and stood in the lobby. It was 2001. It was not long after the attacks in New York.
And since then, you've been a print journalist, as I say. Is there enough work, or are there enough things happening in Prague to keep an ambitious young journalist like yourself busy?
Not for me, but more because I wanted to see more of the world. I think there are plenty of things for journalists here if they wanted to look around for them. I've spent much of the past year and a half traveling around the Balkans for my current job, but more because I wanted to see more of the world. And that's another reason why I'm leaving now, is that I'm very curious. My appetite hasn't been slaked by the Czech Republic.
And about living here in general as a foreigner, you've been here for a decade or so. I'm sure people ask you, as they ask me, how has Prague changed over the years? It has changed. What would you say are the biggest changes you've seen here?
I think a lot of consumerism. I see a lot of Western shops, Western chains, a lot more emphasis on showing that you make money and having the latest gadgetry or the latest clothes. To a certain extent, even more so than in the West, that the Czechs have taken to consumerism like fish to water. And at times I do miss the early days when these chains weren't here. I felt those things were a little more real before.
Would you say Prague has become perhaps a little bit too civilized?
I don't know if I would say that. I think it's... certainly it's easier if you come from the West to get the things that you want in shops. Whether it's become more civilized, I don't know. I think that there are more challenges for people now, particularly for, say, the elderly. When I first came here, there were always elderly people in the trams. You'd find that someone would get up for them. Now I see young Czech kids who act like kids back in Britain, who don't get up on the trams for old people, and I find myself sort of irritated in the way that Czechs do as well. So I'm not sure if it's more civilised.
So, all things considered, 11 years, Nick, have you enjoyed it here?
For the most part, yes. I think there's an awful lot I'm going to miss. Professionally, I'm looking forward to new challenges and going other places, but I've spent a third of my life here, almost all of my adult life. So leaving is very difficult in a way. I think it's an amazing country. It's fascinating to see it change over the years. And I think, particularly when I look at young people, I think it has a good future.
Where are you going to? I'm sure listeners would like to know.
I'm going to Chicago, and I'm going to be working as a journalist there for Reuters.
Well, Nick, the best of luck.
Thanks very much, Ian.
That edition of One on One brings us to the end of today's program from Prague. Remember that you can check out all of our programs on Radio Prague's webpage. That's at www.radio.cz. And should you like to contact us about anything, the address is english@radio.cz. So don't hesitate to send us a line. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9860, 11600. 17h30, 17h57. Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710. 19h30, 19h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27. Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.